Matthew chapter 7, we're going to get back into our study about the kingdom. Thank God for his mercies. Amen. They're new every morning, and they don't always look the way that we think they ought to look. And through our trials, he is working out his good for those who love him, are called according to his purposes. If you're physically able, will you stand as we get ready to read God's word? Matthew chapter 7, we're going to find ourselves at verse 12 today. Matthew 7, verse 12, one verse. Some of you think, man, one verse, this ought to be a short sermon. But if you've been here for 5 minutes, you know better than that. So this is, I think, one of the most critical verses in all of Scripture. I think it's one of the greatest teachings of Jesus ever. Obviously, everything he said is true. And everything he ever said is good, and all of those things, but he encapsulates so much here, and we're going to learn about that today. You guys know what people call this? The Golden Rule, and the world over has a lot to think about, say about the Golden Rule, and we're going to learn about that today. So let's pray, because we need God's help. I desperately need God's help, so let's ask for him to help, and then we'll read. Father, I thank you for this beautiful day. I thank you for everyone who is able to gather today. We pray for our brothers and sisters who cannot be here, that you'll bless them, watch over them, and bring them back together with us as soon as possible. But Father, we trust in you. We don't understand all of the trials of this life, but we know that you're good. We know that you're God, and we know that you'll work all things together for good to those who love you and are called according to your purposes. So we pray, Lord, that you'll help us. Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. I pray that you'll bless your word, even as we read it, that your Holy Spirit would teach us and guide us into all truth. I pray that you'll help me today. I'm nothing without you. I pray you'll bless your word in spite of me. And Father, I pray that everyone who hears this message will be led of your Spirit to take the next step that they need to take, that each one of us will continue in our walk with you, our journey of faith, that we'll believe you, we'll trust in you, and we'll obey you. Please help, for we're nothing without you, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Jesus says, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Amen. Please be seated. The Golden Rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Most of you were taught that as a young age. I know that we try to teach our kids that, and we struggle to continue to teach ourselves that. But we want to learn to do unto others the way you would want them to do unto you. And I can't remember exactly who it was or when it was, but there's been a couple of times in my life that when I was trying to witness to somebody and tell them about Christianity, about Jesus, and his truth and his death and resurrection and all of those things, I've had a couple of people challenge me by saying, give me the fact that all religions of the world have a golden rule. Like, it's not exclusive to God. And what they're trying to do is downplay the importance of what Jesus taught. And what they're trying to do is discredit the exclusivity of Christianity for the truth. They're trying to say, well, everybody believes in a golden rule. Like, that's just something everybody has. But like always, when you're challenged by somebody, it's really good to step back and try to dig in and understand the truth of what actually has been said. So if there's going to be a claim that all these other religions have a golden rule, you ought to see what they say. Now, when I was young, I didn't do that. And I was really challenged by that, and it tripped me up a bit. But I want to give you some of these other so-called golden rules. Confucius say, what you do not wish for yourselves, do not do to others. What you do not wish for yourself, do not do to others. In the Jewish faith, Rabbi Hillel, who was a very popular rabbi years ago, he said, what is hateful to you, do not do to your fellow. What is hateful to you, do not do to your fellow. The Buddhist teaching that goes along with this says, hurt not others in ways that you yourselves would find hurtful. Do not, or hurt not others in ways that you yourself would find hurtful. The Hindu teaching is this. This is the sum of duty. Do not do to others what would cause pain if done to you. Do not do to others what would cause pain if done to you. So I don't know if you noticed that, but in every one of these that I read, in almost every major world system, world religion outside of Christ, has a negative to it. It's about don't do this, avoid doing that, withhold this thing. And so they're negative golden rules in the idea that don't do something bad to somebody else. But I want you to think about the motive for that. Okay, if you teach your kids, don't hit your sister. One of the reasons you wouldn't want to hit your sister is because if you hit your sister, she will. Yeah, and sisters are mean. I know I have one. Yeah, it's self-serving. It's self-serving to say don't do something bad to somebody else, because if you do something bad to somebody else, something bad is going to happen to you. These things are not motivated out of love. They're not motivated out of grace. They're not motivated out of any goodness at all. These things are restraining. They're not renewing. It's not about life-giving. They're passive. They're not active. It's not teaching you to do good. It's teaching you don't do bad. And then it's protective. It's not sacrificial. The negative ideas of these could be satisfied by doing nothing. Just don't do anything. Just leave everybody alone, and then you're going to be fine as long as you're going along with those teachings. They're rooted in self-preservation. Don't stir up trouble. It's almost, a lot of this, of course, is rooted in karma. What goes around comes around. If you do bad, then bad things are going to happen to you. Which, by the way, if you've ever noticed an element and truth in that, it's because the biblical truth, you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. And so, listen, there's always going to be an element of truth in all of the lies. That's what makes them believable, right? But there's a ton of error mixed with those lies, and they lead you away from the truth, the person of truth, who is Jesus Christ. They're all about keeping things calm. Don't stir up trouble. They're rooted in human wisdom, and they will not lead to life everlasting because they lead you away from Christ. Islam has a version of this golden rule in Hadith 13. It says this: none of you truly believes until he wishes for his brother what he wishes for himself. None of you truly believes until he wishes for his brother what he wishes for himself. So in the Muslim faith, the idea, you might read that and you're like, well, that sounds really close to what Jesus says, but think about it. This is rooted in proving that you're a true believer. It has nothing to do with knowing the truth or loving others. It's just trying to prove yourself as a true believer. Notice this, it's limited to your brother. This is not about doing good to anybody. It's about only wishing good for those who you consider to be your brother, which in the Islam faith means that anybody who doesn't follow the Muslim faith is an infidel, right? So you don't wish good for anybody who's not in your faith. You don't wish good for them. You wish bad for them. And so it's completely, completely falls short of what Jesus teaches. And by the way, it only calls for wishes, not action. And we can all do that, right? We can all sit back and wish things for other people, but Christ calls us to do good. There are so many people out there who want to paint all the world religions as equal. They're all the same. It's all good. There's light and there's truth and there's good in all of them. And I want to tell you today that Christianity is exclusive, and you should never apologize for that. Amen. There is only one who died for the sins of the world and rose again. There's only one who suffered for you. There's only one who bled for you. There's only one who died for you. There's only one who laid down his life and took it up again. Of course the claims of Christianity are exclusive. Jesus Christ claimed to be God. And then he proved it when he died and he rose again. You guys hear me today? Jesus Christ claimed to be God. He was not just a good man or a prophet. He was the living God, and he is the living God, and he is the only Savior of the world. And there are people who want to make you believe that Christianity is inferior or at the very best just equal with everything else. But I'm telling you, Jesus is set apart infinitely above all. Amen. Infinitely above all. We say, well, that's, preacher, that's hateful. And that's not inclusive. Well, listen, Jesus died for everybody. Amen. It is inclusive. Amen. It's universal. It's for everyone. Amen. He loves you. He died for you. And he will save you if you'll turn away from everything else and trust in him alone. Amen. Jesus didn't say, like these others, don't do bad things to others or they'll do bad things to you. He didn't say, have good wishes for the people who are like you, who believe like you. Jesus says, do the very good you would deeply desire to receive. Amen. And do it in all things to all people, because this fulfills the law and the prophets. So I want you to look at this. This is the law and the prophets. And we want to understand exactly what the Lord's saying here. So let's dive in. First of all, notice the flow of the golden rule. The very first word in verse 12 is what? Therefore. It's therefore. Everybody say the word therefore. Therefore. Okay, and when we see that word in any verse in Scripture, what do we need to do? We need to look and see what it's there for. Okay, he's pointing back to something. And so if you'll just look in your Bibles, if you'll back up just a little bit, we're here in verse 12. We just came through this section in verse 7 through 11. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be open. What man is there of you? If his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? And even a sinful human being can be good, a good father, and do good things. How much more is your Father in heaven, who is infinite, holy, and perfect, and good? Amen. He is love. Amen. And then he says, therefore, in verse 12, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. So what's he saying? He's pointing back, at least immediately, to the goodness of the Father. The love of the Father, because your Father in heaven is so good to you, and he loves you, and he lavishes you with all blessings from heaven above, then you ought to do good to other people. Amen. That makes sense to you? So it flows from the heart of the Father. It flows from the love of the Father. It flows from the goodness of the Father. Because our Father in heaven gladly gives good things to his children, we should reflect that same goodness and generosity to other people. We ought to let people see him in the way that we treat others. Amen. Christians ought to be the most generous people on the planet. And it's not because we're trying to earn our way into heaven. It's because we have been freely given the goodness and mercy and love of God. Amen. Now, I want you to understand this. Verse 12, a lot of people take this idea of a golden rule and they use it. They think it's like a ladder to climb their way into heaven. You hear me plainly today. You cannot climb your way into heaven. Amen. You cannot earn your way into heaven. You cannot get yourself into heaven by being good to other people. We don't live out the golden rule so that we can make our way to heaven. We live out the golden rule because God has freely loved us, Amen. Mercifully forgiven us. He has graciously loved us, and we are living out his love to us. Okay? Amen. Man, it's so important that we understand that. It flows from the love of our generous Father, who has been beyond our comprehension good to us. How good has God been to you? Well, let me just help you out today. Anything good that you've experienced in your life is because God is gracious. Amen. Every good thing is because he loves and is good. A.W. Tozer said this, "The cross is the lightning rod of grace that short circuits God's wrath to Christ so that only the light of his love remains for believers." What I'm trying to tell you is, and what Tozer was trying to communicate is, that Jesus went to the cross and he took all the wrath of God on himself. He redirects all of God's wrath onto himself so that you can have his love and his light and his goodness. Amen. So this idea, the golden rule, it flows out of God's love. I think it's a little deeper than that too. If you're there in Matthew chapter 7, back up to chapter 5 and verse 17. Chapter 5, verse 17, and I want you to see how Jesus kind of bookends this. "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to..." Jesus came to fulfill what? The law and the prophets. What does that mean? Well, everything in the Old Testament, the law and the prophets, everything that God gave us, all of his truth, all of his righteousness, all of his holiness, all of his goodness, all of his way of living and a way of salvation, all of it, the kingdom is all wrapped up in Jesus. And he said, I didn't come to do away with that. I came to fulfill that. And then I want you to notice, we go on to the end of our verse, chapter 7 and verse 12. And he says, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. What does that mean? It means to love. He said, I came to fulfill. How did Jesus fulfill it? Because he came and he loved. And he gave himself for everyone. That's how he fulfilled it all, by his sacrifice, by his love for others. And he poured out his very life for other people. And then he bookends it with all the stuff he just taught, right? He's been teaching about the kingdom, about how to live in the kingdom, about what all that's all about. And how we have our life lived towards God and towards others, right? That's the whole thing about kingdom living. And then he comes to the end of it and he says, let me just bring it all together for you. Treat other people the way you want to be treated, because that's how the law and the prophets are fulfilled. That's how it's all done, is by loving others. Amen. And we get that, right? Now, I know that people struggle with self-esteem and all the rest of it, but let's just be honest. We understand that we love ourselves. You can read about it in Ephesians 5 when the Word of God calls men to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And he says, you just love your wife the way you love yourself, because no man ever yet hated his own flesh. A man knows how to take care of himself, amen, right? Unless he's sick, and then he needs everyone else to take care of him. Because there's no cold like a man cold. Yeah, I preach. Don't tell me. I know. No, men know how to take care of their own selves. When you're hungry, you get something to eat. When you're thirsty, you get something to drink. When you're tired, you rest. I mean, we take care of ourselves. We love ourselves, and that's the truth. It's evident by how we treat ourselves. And he's saying, love other people. That fulfills the law and the prophets. It's about love. It's about sacrifice. So it flows. It flows from our Father's goodness and love and mercy and generosity and grace. It's grace. It flows from grace. And then it flows from Jesus' teaching on the kingdom. And really, if you go back, 5:17, he came to fulfill the law and the prophets, and he used that same exact verbiage here, and that's a teaching that ought to trigger something in your mind to go, oh man, he said the law and the prophets before, so he's sandwiching it all between. He's saying, all the stuff that I'm teaching you, how I came to fulfill it, and how to live it out in your life today is all summed up right here. This is it. Amen. This is it. So you put it all together, and we see how it flows. John Stott said the Sermon on the Mount was the most complete delineation anywhere in the New Testament of the Christian counterculture. And listen, in our verse today, this golden rule, it is countercultural to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. As you would wish for somebody to treat you, if you treat other people that way, that is completely countercultural. That is not of this earth's kingdom. This is not a worldly kingdom. That is the kingdom of Christ. Amen. That's the kingdom of Christ. The whole sermon presupposes an acceptance of the gospel, an experience of conversion and new birth, and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I just want you to get this. Like I said, and make sure that we get this, this is not a ladder for unbelievers to climb into the kingdom. This is a way to live for those who are in the kingdom because they have been born again. Amen. You cannot love others this way unless the Spirit of God lives in you. It's impossible. You don't know what that kind of love is. You've not experienced that kind of love until you trust in him. So that's the flow. It flows. Therefore, and then look at the scope of it. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. Can you just, what things? But surely that doesn't mean everything, right? Surely there's some provisos, some exceptions. There's got to be some loopholes and some exception clauses, right? I mean, that's the American way. There's always a loophole. It's coming towards the end of the year. It's about time to start thinking about taxes again, right? And we want to think about loopholes, right? Listen, There are no loopholes. There are no exceptions. There are no provisos. It's all things. Amen. The scope of it is all things. He doesn't limit this to a few areas of your life. He doesn't limit it to people who are like you or who believe like you. He does not limit it to people who are like you or who believe like you. We find it much easier to do good to people who are like us than to people who are not like us. He doesn't limit us to the people that we like. It's not limited. It's all things whatsoever to all people whatsoever. It covers every area of our life. The golden rule should be lived out in your home. Amen. Amen. You guys agree with that? When you think you ought to live out the golden rule with your wife or your husband, amen, with your children or your parents, with your brothers and sisters. You ought to live out the golden rule with the people who share your DNA, people. Amen. Amen. You ought to live out the golden rule with people. How about this? We ought to live out the golden rule in the church. Amen. We ought to treat other people in the church the way we would want to be treated. We ought to stop and think about how I would want to be treated. If I was that person in that situation, how would I want to be treated? And then we ought to act accordingly. We ought to live out the golden rule at work. I'm trying to meddle a little bit. Hey, work. Work is not always an easy place to treat other people the way you want to be treated. I'm going to tell you this. Most of us, the American way is to treat other people the way they treat you. And I can already hear your logic. Treat other people the way they treat me because, well, they treated me that way, and I assume they're trying to live out the golden rule, so that must be the way they want me to treat them. Has anybody ever thought it through that much besides my son?
I will now.
Yeah, that's just what not to do. At school, you got to live out the golden rule at school. Amen. You got to treat other people the way you would want to be treated, not the way they treat you. Amen. Amen. You shouldn't just avoid doing bad things to people at school. You should actively do good things to people at school. Amen. Amen. How about this one? Online. You got to live out the golden rule online. There's something about being behind a screen that changes people's attitudes. It's a lot like being inside their car. Most people who are in their vehicle are 10 foot tall and bulletproof. Or at least they act like it. Right? People behind a screen are the same way. They're untouchable. They'll say things to people and treat people in ways that they would never, ever, ever treat somebody that way if they were face to face. Man, y'all got quiet. I got a solution for you. Like, if you've acted in a way that's not this, if you've not been obedient to the golden rule online or at school or at home or while you're driving your car or anywhere, it's very simple. Repent.
Amen. Amen.
You need to repent. I some of you have a hard time with this, and I don't understand it. I have to repent all the time. I am well-versed at repenting because I mess up all the time. And I work really hard to keep a short accounts with God. When I say something I shouldn't, I try to repent very quickly. I don't want to hold on to that. And some of you, I don't know. It's like you don't understand. Repentance is not a one-time deal. Like, it's not a once and done.
Amen. Amen.
You need to repent constantly.
Amen. Amen.
Men, women, boys, girls, all of us need to repent regularly. So if you've messed up, then fess up. And then ask God to help you to do better.
Amen.
Live out the golden rule with your family, with your friends, with strangers, and even your enemies. Even your enemies. You forget that ethic that Jesus taught? Love your enemies.
Amen.
We're not just supposed to love ourselves, love other people, love our family members, love people who love us. We're just supposed to love everyone. Even those who hate us. Love Love is the first and great commandment. The second one is like unto it. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So this golden rule is how we live out that second commandment to love our neighbor as ourselves. It summarizes, it sums up the full heart of the law. Romans chapter 13 and verse 8. Romans 13, 8. Owe no man anything but to, what's the word?
Love.
Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loves another has fulfilled the law for this. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended as this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. This is the golden rule. It's the heart of it.
Amen.
It's all comprehended. It's all wrapped up in this one thing. This is the law and prophets, when we do unto others the way we would have them do unto us. So that's the scope of it. It's everyone in every place in every way. And then notice the measure of the golden rule. All things whatsoever, as ye would that men should do to you, do even so to them. As ye would that men should do to you, do so even to them. So, that's the measure of it. As you would, your will, your desire, what you would wish for yourself, what is deeply desired, what you would want if you were in their place, that's what you do. Do means to carry out, to cause to be. It's not passive, it's active, it's deliberate in its real life action. Even so, in this very way, in the same manner, it's measured correspondence. It is intentionally in the same exact way you would want to be treated, you treat them back. So as you thoughtfully recognize what you would genuinely desire for yourself in any given situation, then you commit yourself to actively create that same good in the lives of others. Now, some people will twist this up, and it's similar to what we said a while ago. But somebody might have this attitude. Well, if I want people to affirm my sin, then I should affirm their sin. Can you imagine somebody doing that? I want people to be accepting of my lifestyle, so I'm going to be accepting of theirs. Is that what Jesus is teaching here?
That's not right.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. If I want people to tolerate my rebellion, then I should tolerate theirs. No, absolutely not. The golden rule does not set our sin as a standard.
Amen.
The objective good, morality, the ethics according to Scripture are always going to be the standard rule. We want good to be done. It's objectively good, as defined by God's word, not our own thinking. Okay? So the point is this. I'm not trying to measure this out by what my sinful flesh wants. I'm trying to measure out what good according to the word of God is. Okay? What, under God's word, under God's truth, would I rightly desire if I was in their place? That's what we're trying to do. Let me walk through 6 marks of the golden rule, and we'll probably not get through them all. We'll finish up this afternoon if we run out of time. Number one, it's personal. The golden rule is personal. As ye would. It begins with you. You're going to have to think about. You have to think about it. Number two, it's positive. It's something that you do. It's personal, as ye would. It's positive. Do ye even so. It's something that you do. Jesus says, do good. Not just avoid doing bad, but do good. Number three, it's proactive. It's proactive. You're supposed to go out of your way to do good. It's not waiting around to see how people treat you. It's not reactive, it's proactive. And so many times we're just responding to how people treat us, and that's not what Jesus is teaching.
Amen.
He's teaching us to be proactive and put others first. It's number four, perceptive. Perceptive. I think one of the reasons we have a hard time with the golden rule is because it requires thinking. And thinking requires effort, and we're lazy. I'm sorry, some of y'all didn't like that. It takes effort to think about. It takes effort to put yourself in somebody else's shoes, to actually consider, to have some empathy, to think about how their life is and what's going on in their situation, and to put yourself in that place, to think about it. So it takes perception. It's perceptive. Number five, it's pure. It's pure. This is not, I'll treat you well, so I'll get something in return. Its motives are pure. It's about just loving somebody else and doing good to them. And number five, it's patterned. It's, I think I lost count. That's number six. Thank you. Number six. Counting is not my forte. Number six, it is patterned after the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Walk in love, Ephesians 5:2, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. This golden rule is patterned after what Jesus did. And I want you to think about it. Did Jesus live out and exemplify the golden rule? I mean, he looked at us. And he knew that deep down in our hearts, desperately what we needed, Amen. The good that we needed was to be forgiven and saved. Amen. And so he put himself in our place. And he died for us. Amen. He gave himself for us so that we could be forgiven and have eternal life. And then he gives us this example. He gave himself, he offered up himself for our good. And then he says, what I want you to do is I want you to think about how you would want to be treated if you were somebody else. The good that you would want done if you were in their place. And I want you to do that. Amen. I want you to go out of your way to do that. This afternoon we'll dig in deeper into these things. I hope you'll be here for that at 1 o'clock, because there's a lot of depth here that I want to make sure that we don't miss. This practicality and how to live out the golden rule. But for now, will you stand with me? Our musicians are coming, and we're going to have a verse of invitation. This morning, if you have never been born again, I want you to notice that the golden rule teaches you that you can't be good enough to save yourself. It shows how we fall short. I mean, there's nobody in the room or listening online today that could say, man, I have always loved other people the way I want them to love me. This verse is condemning. It shows us that we fall short and we need a savior. So if you're lost today, understand you can't save yourself. Jesus Christ died for your sins so that you could be saved by faith. So trust in him today. Give your heart to Jesus today. And if you are saved, if you're in Christ, understand this is how our King wants us to live in his kingdom. He wants us to live and love the way he did. And we can't do that in our own strength. We have to depend on him. If he's convicting your heart, decisions that you need to make, steps you need to take, will you come while we sing?